to the highest mountain top. I can feel you, I keep drinking your love. I can live on your smile. I can trip and if I can fall into your arms. Good evening. Welcome to the Natural Radio Show for beautiful women worldwide. Come together in peace, harmony, and respect. Natural Radio Show is a platform for holistic and sufficient discussions centered on empowerment and uplifting all women worldwide on the Natural Radio Show. Once again, this is your host, Cindera Mendez, on the Natural Radio Show. And tonight's topic is about the invisible identity of the Black woman. I wanted the topic to initially be about the uneducated, liberated woman. However, I did some research, a little bit more digging, and I thought what was more suitable is the so-called Black woman identity and just feeling invisible to the world. So this is how I constructed the title on tonight, The Invisible Identity of the Black Woman. So I wanted to talk about how as women, it's not just a particular race, specifically women. It's all races of women who may deal with some form of discrimination, sexism, or any of that sort, whereas there's injustice. So I say this as in to relate to all women, specifically my own kind, which is so-called Black women. So I wanted to talk about acknowledging the fact of living in our own shadows. So if any other race of women can actually relate to what I'm saying, then you'll have a degree of understanding of where I'm coming from. But I know that because I come from a so-called Black woman, I can be able to not even identify, but be able to explain certain issues that we will face. So when it comes down to classism, I do think that Black women are a lower class trait, so any other race of women may not be able to relate to the experiences that we may endure as so-called Black women. Okay, because usually when it comes down to classism amongst women, other races of women are more favored than the so-called Black woman. Even our own kind, our own men, prefer, some men, not all of them, prefer to have a woman of another race.
I've had 10 miscarriages.
So this is just my perspective on that. So when I make reference to acknowledging so-called Black women living in their own shadow, it's first, I feel that so-called Black women have learned to live in their own shadow because of having the complexity of invisibility regarding her identity. So it's almost as though she, and I don't mean to speak in a third person, but it's just as though the identity of the Black woman has become more of an invisible veil. So basically what you see on the outside is more of a shell versus who she really is intrinsically. Okay, and the way so-called black women have learned to live in their own shadow is by going off of the standard of beauty and constructing, coming up with different ways of, you know, enhancing their own beauty, you know, and just being more appealing and attractive, you know, as far as them trying to achieve a specific image. But usually when it comes down to their image, it's more of a preferential design to where they feel as though, because they can change up their hairstyle, change up the makeup, change up their clothes and do all of these things, it's more or less something that they want to be able to connect to, or some sort is an external connection that they have that they could connect to as far as identifying who they are and having a name to go by, you know. But more or less, these women really want to be, you know, accepted and have some type of attraction, you know, towards the opposite sex or whatever their sexual preference is, or whatever the case might be. But they want to be able to have some type of validation in society. So, like I said, even though they could dress nice, they can enhance their beauty, they still deal with the fact of classism. Whereas when you go up against, when a so-called black woman has to go up against a white woman or other races of women, they always get chosen first before the so-called black woman, you know. And it's almost as if, you know, the black woman is trying to be accepted in a world that's not her own. Okay, so this is what I mean by learning to live in her own shadow and her identity becoming an invisible veil. Okay, so usually 9 times out of 10, so-called black women resort to self-care, self-love, and all of that. And those are good practices to do, to have, you know, learn self-love and to have some degree of self-care and things of that nature. That's more of a closing a gap with her identity and who she is, you know. And even though she knows that, even though she had this preferential aspect to where she could change up her hair, her clothes, her design, if she ever want to level up, she can always level up and do these things, you know, without a problem. So it's still some type of degree of invalidation, because she can't really come forth in her own natural beauty without having to critique it, construct it, alter it, you know, and trying to basically be something that she's not, especially so-called black women that have gone through plastic surgery and things of that sort, you know, or bleaching their skin and things. It's more than the degree of self-hatred. It goes beyond just that, you know. So it's more of a mental break and issue when a woman resort to doing that as a part of enhancing her beauty. You know, she loses herself along the way when she deal with a lot of rejection, she deal with a lot of degradation, and when she deals with a lot of unknown forces, which is spiritual principalities that she has yet to understand. That is not just what she could see visibly, it's what she's what she cannot see that she's in war with. So her shadow is always lurking behind. Her shadow understands that war to a degree, but don't understand it in its entirety, to whereas her soul can be empowered by doing the right thing, doing what's right, without having to alter or compromise her state, her beauty, and just her existence. Okay, so now moving along to how Black women master the art of infiltrating the image of beauty constructed. Now, so-called Black women have this things like with the wigs, like I said before, that I was trying to like design the wigs and everything, and you know, do all of these things and stuff like that. But these so-called Black women have found some type of connection with wigs, and some of them like to wear the natural wigs. And to me, that's like a first step, a stepping stone, a start, at least, to finding their own satisfaction or sense of identity in terms of being comfortable with who they are. However, this whole wig phrase, I mean, phase of life is, to me, I won't say it's comical, but at the end of the day, it's almost as if with the woman, it's like she's protecting, you know, herself from the outside world. She has to protect the image more than she has to, you know, stand in her own, I won't say regalness or existence, but just, you know, just standing alone naturally without having to alter her appearance. So to me, to a degree, it is kind of comical in a way, because if a woman is already natural, let's say she already has natural hair underneath her hair, and then she wants to go get a wig that's natural, it's not so much about her hair, it's about her being able to be comfortable with, you know, society, comfortable, you know, finding her grounding, her, you know, in society and the standard of beauty. So to a degree, like I said, it is comical in a way, because if her hair is natural underneath and she's wearing a natural wig, it's like, wow, okay, now are you gonna wear your natural hair? Now I won't permit it 100%, only because when it comes down to hair texture and women hair and things of that nature, I feel that so-called Black women hair should be in protective hairstyles and should be taken care of underneath, you know, and not ignored or anything like that. I really feel as though they should take an interest in at times letting their hair breathe, you know, because let's say when a so-called Black woman wear her hair out and she has these beautiful, nice designs and natural hair and everything, after a while, you know, without the proper care of taking care of your hair, it begins to, it's to me, I look at Black women natural hair as a flower. So if it's not taken care of properly, you know, it can actually break off in the end, is what I'm trying to say. So a so-called Black woman could go out and, you know, wear her hair natural for weeks and weeks and weeks, but then after a while, it's almost as if her hair would get worn down just a little bit, only because you know, her hair being exposed to, you know, the outside and things of that nature. So I do feel that to some degree that so-called Black women need to cover their hair in some way, some sort, you know. And then not just dealing with the environmental aspect of their hair, but dealing with people who don't like so-called Black women to wear their natural hair. When people send their thoughts out to a Black woman as beautiful and wearing her natural hair, that can also cause her hair to wither away as well, if they just have a bad intention towards her hair, you know. So being that I am mentioning how she infiltrated, it's like it's like she's trying to protect her hair at the same time and want to be beautiful in her natural state as well. So if that's a way to keep their protective hairstyle and have that type of image and it looks natural, so be it. You know, as long as it's not mimicking any other race of woman or anything of that sort, and it's their natural hair, that's fine. However, when it comes down to the irony behind it, of where this hair is coming from and the irony behind it, it's absurd to me, you know. But at the end of the day, this is what I've noticed. I've noticed that a lot of women are wearing a natural state, you know, their hair. And to me, I just think that it's a stepping stone. So now, another factor is that how Black women use their standard of beauty as a representation of who they desire to be for the world. So usually it's not who that woman intrinsically want to be. You know, that woman is basically preparing herself and altering herself for the image of what she think the world wants to see her as. So a lot of times I feel that Black women are dealing with that psychological battle of, you know, trying to live by a standard of beauty that represents herself, but what she thinks of the world. It's almost like the looking glass mirror, where she thinks the world will only accept her as if she has this type of image. Okay, and even in that ability, she has the opportunity to level up into each level, which I think is almost as if she's learning to embrace her feminine side, which is good. And I don't mean feminine as in being a feminist and feeling as though, oh, you don't need a man and things like that. I'm just saying, just knowing the practical things of self-care, self-love, and things of that aspect. Okay? So, another thing is her hidden shadow may be her alter ego, her pride, her level of temperament, and her intuitive nature. So, this all comes in a package with a Black woman. She understands that she has an alter ego, meaning she could pretend to be one way to the world, but when she's away from the world, she's a whole total different person. You know, how she deal with, you know, her family and friends and everything or whatever. So it's like, to the world, she has to be on stage, she has to act, she has to be something that she's really not, you know. So it's more of an intrinsic nature that she portrays to the world rather than an intrinsic nature. So sometimes, you know, by her applying that extrinsic nature to the world, that's her way of relating to the people rather than connecting with them. Okay, so her alter ego could tell her, like, you know, self, and she'd be like, yeah, me, you know, going back and forth. Just to be a little funny, though, but, you know, just having that inner dialogue going back and forth, you know. So that's like a gauging point for that woman, along with practical common sense and, you know, chosen sense, you know, which she has to deal with out in the world. So I feel that everywhere that the Black woman goes, her shadow is right behind her, and it's something that she has to face. You know, whatever darkness, whatever fears that the Black woman may have, she has to face them all. You know, and a lot of times the so-called Black woman don't want to face those fears alone. You know, and I've noticed that so-called Black women, even myself, you know, when it comes down to the Black man, I really, truly have a genuine love for Black men, you know, and I'm pretty sure that there are some men out there that truly and genuinely love black women as well. But when I say that I love black men, I really love black women. I love black men. I love my own kind, you know, and this is not to sound racist or anything like that, but when it comes down to, you know, the upliftment of the black man and to see him rise, to see him take back his manhood, his respect, his dignity, that brings some type of a newness. It births something new in a black woman to see that, you know. The black woman understand the plight of the black man just as much as a real black man understand the plight of a black woman. They understand that, you know, in spite of the trivial nonsense and what society portrays so-called black men and women to be. You know, it's always this portrayed thing where black men and black women are always going against each other, but at the end of the day, we have an underlying love for each other that only us two can actually understand. Above all people out in the world, we understand that it's not about what the world wants us to be or portray us to be. It's about what is intrinsically right and true. Okay, so those are my thoughts on that. And then moving along from the fact of the so-called black woman acknowledging living in her own shadow, I want to talk about the challenges black women face. So, like I said, me myself being a so-called black woman, also identify as another, you know, sort. But just for me, just reaching out and being able to relate to my sisters, I want y'all to understand that I know what that plight is. I can relate to you all. I know. Okay, so one of the factors that black women face, and it's a challenge, is displaced anger and frustration. Sometimes, you know, us black women, we grow up in single parent homes where we just got our mother, and we know that when, let's say if you was raised in a home and it was nothing but women in the household, you know, it was cat, like we fighting like cats. It's like it's like we fighting for our own territory and stuff like that. So it's not so much of fighting, but you know, we trying to, like, you know, maintain our own, like being the queen of the house and everything. Like, you know, we have to deal with those type of dilemmas, if y'all understand what I'm saying. But usually when it comes down to that plight, you know, we never get the chance or have had the opportunity. And these are for just the so-called black women who didn't grow up in a two-family home. Because me, myself, I grew up in a single-parent home, you know. And thankfully, I didn't turn out to be worse. But for those women that can't relate to me, my sisters that are out there, growing up in a single parent home, we don't get to see that balance. We don't get to see that balance of having a masculinity and having a feminine side in the home. We only get to see it one-sided, and like I said, it's almost as if it's almost like a battle, a fight, you know. And at the same time, trying to learn from our mothers and stuff like that, and trying to get their approval underhandedly, you know, and wanting their love and desiring their love. And it's almost like a void or a detachment, because the mothers don't really nurture the girls in a way that they need to. Some mothers are harsh towards their daughters. Some women are more neglectful. They don't really give that love that the woman actually, you know, the daughter may need. And that could be difficult, because here it is, let's say if a woman, you know, she grows up and she thinks that she has to be tough, and she's seen her mom, you know, doing a lot of degrading things, excuse me, just to keep a roof over their head, you know, over their head and things like that, doing her thing, doing what she got to do. You know, sometimes the daughter may not approve of a lot of things that her mother may have done or did, but it's almost as if not to ramble, but it's almost as if, you know, we're looking for a role model that's not really a role model. And because, you know, being around that environment and seeing the tough nature back and forth and, you know, the imbalance, you know, it causes us to lose out on the fact of how to even relate to, of how to relate to a man or have a balance in the masculinity, you know, the masculine nature or having that in the home. So if the daughter seeing the mother, you know, using, you know, what she had, like her beauty, you know, sex and things like that, just to appease a man, to get a man, and, you know, to trick a man and things like that, that's all she knows until she sees something different outside of the home, you know. And even though that woman may decide that, you know what, I don't want to do this, sometimes inadvertently it happens. You know, the daughter ends up following the footsteps of the mom, you know, and it's not a cool thing, you know, because it's like the madness between so-called black women perpetuate itself, you know, being underdeveloped, not fully being able to develop ourselves on our own, you know, aside from just the experiences, you know, learning the hard way, you know, that development, it's almost as if we get robbed of something that was supposed to bring some type of completeness or some sort. So usually the displaced anger and the frustration happens when a woman gets into a relationship and she feels, let's say the guy's rejecting her, or she never gets past a certain point of commitment with the guy, is because she never seen her mom commit or be in a committed or healthy relationship and don't know how to. So the minute she's faced with rejection, or she faced with some type of opposition from the masculine side, she wants to fight up against it. She wants to go against it because that's all she know as far as her defense mechanism and protecting herself. So a lot of times, so-called black women deal with that issue. I've dealt with that issue to whereas, because I couldn't articulate myself at the time in the past, I resort to either screaming or yelling or trying to, you know, fight just to get a point across. And that's not the way to go. It's not the way to go. Because at the end of the day, when it comes down to being with a black man, if we are able to articulate ourselves a little bit better and be able to understand where the anger and the frustration stem from and deal with it rather than taking out the anger and the frustration on someone else, you know, the so-called black man or black woman, when you're in a relationship, when you identify what it is and deal with it, you know, once you assess it and be able to balance out whatever it is that's causing the anger and frustration, then you can actually come back and speak to the person. A lot of times, you know, you can't speak to a person or make a decision when you're upset or angry and things of that sort, because it's going to be irrational and erratical, you know, for you so-called black women that's out there, or you black men who've experienced this because you couldn't articulate yourself well. So sometimes the best thing to do is just to say, you know what, right now is not the best time for me to talk. Maybe later on we could come back to talk to each other. So I've learned this as a way of leveling up, or, you know, a way of evolution or growth, that once we take the time to articulate ourselves rather than getting emotional, yelling, screaming, punching walls or fighting, you know, because, you know, all of that stuff is irrelevant and irrational. So it just makes matters even more worse. Okay, so the way to actually deal with it, when you address the situation or any situation like that, that's a level of maturity. You know, when you're able to say, you know what, I'm upset, you acknowledge it yourself, and you say, well, you know what, I can't talk right now. Can we just have this discussion later on? and then move on from there. Because guess what? At the end of the day, even if you feel violated or you feel disrespected or any kind of way, at the end of the day, you can't control how or what a person might say or do to you, but you can control how and what you say and do to a person. Because what you do and what you say have more of an effect than what they do or what they say. Because based off of their actions, you can then be able to take action rather than react. If they're doing something that's displeasing or is a violation, you can actually deal with it a whole different way if you sat back and thought about what it is that they done that was so offensive. Okay, so maybe sometimes some situations are worth not reacting to and not dealing with at the time. And you know, maybe you come back to the situation. In some situations, you just gotta walk away from. And if the person is abusive physically, you have to go to the higher authorities to deal with that situation. Let's say if it's no fault of your own, and you're not, you know, you're not the one as a black woman that's initiating a fight or anything like that. It could be the guy that you are with, you know, so-called black man don't know how to articulate himself and might feel that that's the best way he can, you know, communicate. Because one thing I've learned, or I came across a quote, whereas it said, when a so-called black man hates himself, he takes it out on a person that he loves. So even though you so-called black women are in a relationship, you have to understand that in order for your relationship to thrive and to flourish, you got to understand and set, you know, you have to set boundaries, one, okay? And if this black man is dealing with self-hatred, if he's able to control himself, but at the end of the day, you both understand that level of self-hatred from just dealing with the world, you have to understand that you have to have a certain type of love that is very unique for that black man, and vice versa. You know, in order for that relationship to thrive and to be successful. Okay? So, these are my thoughts when it comes down to displaced anger. Don't just automatically feel that a person violated you or disrespected you, so I gotta slap them in the face or do this. You don't have to do none of that. Okay, you assess the situation, understand what it is that they said or did, and walk away from the situation. And if it's doable, where you could talk about it later on, then you address what it is that they did, and then rectify the situation from there. Another challenge that a so-called black woman has to face is the identity crisis. You know, sometimes she gets so lost into trying to portray herself as someone or wanting to be like somebody else, be like what society or the world wants her to be, and she becomes lost. Her soul becomes lost. One person who, you know, I could not understand why they were undergone surgery and things of that sort. There's a rapper. Her name is, I guess, Little Kim. And if you see the different, all her pictures and everything, you've seen how she changed herself throughout the, you know, course of time. I feel that that is an identity crisis, because she's trying to be something that she not. And initially, and this is just my opinion, initially from the beginning, how she was very beautiful. How she was, but she didn't feel a sense of satisfaction. She didn't like her image, so she has to keep altering it and changing it. So this is what I'm talking about when it comes down to so-called black women, when they go through an identity crisis. That's a challenge. And it's more penetrating than just self-hatred. It's more than just that. You know, some people just sum up everything to, oh, self-hatred. No, it's a psychological issue. Okay, it's a psychological issue, and it's almost as if so-called black women feel so lost in the world that they can't find themselves. They got to find themselves through other people and through other sort and feel comfortable with it. So that's one challenge. You know, if a black woman can't sit and just be able to think, you know, just sit down, close her eyes and think and be in connection with her soul, her mind, body and soul, then something is not right. Something is not right at all. Okay, even if you can't take off whatever that character is and be able to come one with yourself and be real with yourself, that's an issue. That's an issue. That's damage beyond repair when you can't do it. Okay, especially when your soul is at stake and you lost your soul. That's damage beyond repair. Okay, and then another issue that women face are gender roles. You know, learning to be able to balance out that feminine and masculinity. Now, I have an issue. I don't have a problem with sharing it on air. I grew up in a single parent home, yes, and I see my mom be very independent. And one of the issues that I have is that when it comes down to, you know, taking from, let's say, my counterpart, so-called black man, it's hard for me to take because I feel as though my mom raised me to be able to take care of myself, which is right. You have to be able to take care of yourself. You have to bring something to the table, but it's almost as if it fell into the category of, oh, I don't need a man. But at the end of the day, it's more of, I've learned that I can establish myself. Yes, it's okay to be independent, but whatever black man comes into my life, he's just adding. It's just an addition, and I have to learn to be able to accept it and learn to be able to balance out the feminine and masculine, the energy, the exchange of reciprocation. I have to learn to balance it because I know before I had an issue where I couldn't accept it. I didn't know how to accept it because this is how my mom raised me to be. You know, having a mindset that if you take from a guy, he's going to want something back in return. So it's almost like a defense mechanism that she taught and raised me how to be. Okay, so I never experienced a thing where a guy was able to take care of me and I'd be able to take care of him because I always felt that was something wrong with that, you know. But like I said, it's okay because men are naturally protectors. Men are naturally providers just as much as women are naturally nurturers and other sort. Like we're naturally, like, you know, in certain feminine aspects that we have, we're naturally that way. It's not meant for a man to reject. If a woman wants to nurture or do some sort like that, it's not meant for a man to reject it because that's part of the womanhood. Just like for a woman, vice versa, myself, it's not meant for me to reject if a man wants to provide for me and wants to add on to whatever it is that I'm doing. So I'm learning differently. So you women that are out there, you have to understand that you're a team. You're a team with that black man that you are with. You have to look at each other as partners, that y'all a team and that y'all going to get through whatever it is that y'all getting through together. It's not just a one-sided thing. One person bringing home the bacon or whatever the case, I mean the bread and so forth. You know, it has to be a balance and it has to be some type of security. Sometimes the woman needs to let the man be a man. Let him be a man, you know, and not feel no type of way if he's telling you to do something or, you know, giving you advice on something. It's not cool to be combative against the man and what his role and what he's initially meant to do. You know, especially I don't condone, you know, so-called black women trying to castrate the black man. I don't condone it at all. I'm not with that liberated mindset at all. Okay, because it's dysfunctional and it causes a fertility imbalance. It causes so much imbalance, soulful mental, physical imbalance when the black, so-called black man and woman is at odds with each other. You don't get nowhere. Okay? And then as I've been talking and mentioning throughout the show, another issue is self-respect and love. A lot of times, so-called black men and women have trouble with learning or understanding what self-respect and love is. Self-respect is not material gains or how you able to manage those material gains, or, you know, how much is, you know, how much you have, or it's a label or price. That's not about self-respect. Even if you have those things, that's fine. That's okay. You have a certain type of preference. Yes, but self-respect is when you have certain type of standards. You are mindful about certain things. You have mannerisms. You are respectful, you know, and there's certain things that you don't do to degrade yourself or think that it's okay to do, like having an attitude that's lawless, you know, disorderly. You know, that's not self-respect. That's a defense mechanism that's causing self-destruction at the end of the day. Okay, so self-respect is when you're able to respect the other persons, you know, and be able to understand that you're not supposed to put yourself in compromising, degrading situations. Like, for example, I don't know, I just discovered that there's so-called women out there that's in cliques and they call each other bitches. They be like, that's my bitch. Or they call each other, hey, ho, what you doing, ho? They address each other by that anthem. And I'm like, I can't relate to that, because to me, that's not a form of respect. Now, there's a younger generation that's like, oh, we get that. We understand that. That's like being cool. To me, in my generation, that's disrespectful. That's not a form of self-respect. You calling your next girlfriend a ho, or calling her a bitch, or whatever the case might be, that's not self-respect at all. Neither is it self-love, because you're identifying with something that's degrading at the end of the day. How could you accept something degrading and then at the same time portray to be somebody who has self-respect at the same time? That's an oxymoron. It's a contradiction to each other, because if you're calling each other by one thing, you're giving out this frequency that people are picking up, that, oh, it's permissible. This is how they treat each other at the end of the day. Even though y'all may have an underlining thing to whereas it's cool, it's okay. But you can't have a double meaning and a double standard to something that's eventually to your demise. Okay? And your self-destruction as a so-called black woman. Now, another thing is sexism. We deal with it all the time with employment, you know, especially employment, where, you know, sometimes so-called black women get put in a position where they feel that they have to have sex to keep their position or their jobs and things like that. And you don't have to do that, you know, but this is the type of things that happen inside of employment or a job, and, you know, and then a person, you know, whoever the subordinate is or boss or whatever the case might be, using it against you, you know, have your job against you, you know, if you don't sleep with them, if you don't do this. And I'm here to say you don't have to do that. You don't have to do that or perpetuate any degradation about yourself or to be able to elevate yourself in a company or things like that. You don't have to do that, you know, and I feel that those so-called black women that are out there that don't, you know, fall for that, you got to understand that when you have a self-respect and self-love and you be able to build yourself up properly, there's people that's going to need you versus you needing another person, you know, and you being able to degrade yourself. If you are in a predicament like that, that's because you choose to be in a predicament like that. You choose to continuously perpetuate degrading yourself and dealing with the challenges and dynamic of sexism and not being able to get promoted just because you have a degree and things of that nature. And this is not just so-called black women that experience this. This is other races of women that experience the same type of sexism and sexual harassment and discrimination in employment, you know, when it comes down to that specifically. Okay, so it's not just black women, it's other races of women that deal with that as well too. Okay, if you can't stand for something, you're gonna fall for anything. Anything. You're gonna fall for anything. Okay, and then another issue that so-called black women face is sexual exploitation. You know, having a seductive nature rather than a sensual nature and appearance. Okay, a seductive nature to whereas for those black men that are destructive mentally, I researched that these so-called black men exploit black women to other races of women and don't care about it. There's a type of sickness and illness for a so-called black man to do that, because how could you love your counterpart and sell your counterpart to someone else rather than protect her at the end of the day? Okay, so when a so-called black woman is degrading herself, you know, because she see this type of mannerism or behaviorism going on with the so-called black man, you know, in herself, it's almost as if he's teaching her to be okay with something that is not okay at the end of the day. You know, exploiting her rather than protecting her. It's like, come on. It's weaker than weak. Okay, and like I said, these are not for all so-called black men that think that way. I'm talking about for those men that do exploit his own kind, his counterpart to other races of women, and don't feel nothing behind it at all. Okay, I feel that so-called black men that are like that is a lost soul, a lost product to society. Now that I talk about the challenges that so-called black women face, I wanted to talk about the complex and crisis against their visibility. So when it comes down to misconstrued concept of gender, class, and racial liberation, this whole thing about so-called black women being a feminist and being liberated, that whole term is so cliche to me at the end of the day. Because what was supposed to be meant for good turned out to be something bad. And because it turned out to be something bad, and the woman, so-called black woman, standing up for herself, going up for certain rights and things like that, is seen bad now, you know, and not any construct, because, you know, the distorted dynamic behind the underlining that's taking place. So let's say with the feminist group or whatever the case might be, you have the group of women, so-called black women, trying to obtain their rights. But at the end of the day, you have so-called white women that's countering it, because when it comes down to classism, they know that they have one level up against black women. Okay, so they want to distort one meaning. They act like, with the feminist, the whole thing, the liberation thing, they act like they with you until it's time to actually start getting down to business and stuff like that. So all of this whole thing, I feel like having a unification with all women is cliche. I feel like I'd rather go hard for my own kind and bring them right back into their rightful mindset, opposed to mingling and having a whole vast of women that's really not for you. And then having to deal with classism and stuff like that. I'd rather deal with my own kind and uplift and empower them in the right direction, where you don't have to deal with people underhandedly exploiting you or distorting the whole concept of, you know, you trying to stand up for your rights against sexism, you know, rape and all of this stuff. All of these things that go on in the world that is unjust. Okay, so I just wanted to set the record straight when it comes down to that, because it's a misconstrued concept behind it. Initially, like when I researched about it, it's said that a so-called black woman will have a love for the black man, but he won't have the same type of love for her in return. I wonder why. And this is why the disconnection perpetuates itself at the end of the day. Okay, and then irrelevance of equality and the exclusivity of equity. So let's go on back to the liberation movement. The irrelevancy of equality, first and foremost, so-called black women back in the days was never equal to the black woman. The white woman was never equal. So why try to obtain a right that you know that it's going to be, it's almost like a sand time, like I forgot what this glass thing is called, but it's like a timer kind of thing, but with the sand, like dealing with the polar opposites of the two, it's like nothing would have ever been achieved, you know, to where all women would have been treated equally or obtained some type of equality or right at the end of the day. Okay, so the exclusivity of equity, I feel like so-called black women need to learn what equity is all about rather than equality. Once we sit down and we learn and negotiate what equity is rather than being equal, equity doesn't necessarily mean by you degrading yourself and putting yourself out in the world as a commodity. It's about knowing your value and understanding your value, understanding, you know, the gifts and all of the intuitive gifts that you have and being able to apply that, coming into your own power as a so-called black woman and being able to help your counterpart, the so-called black man, rather than y'all self-destruct at the same time. Okay, it's about equity. Okay, and then the mid-crisis of flight or fight defense mechanism. So-called black women, we have to understand that when dealing with certain things in our lives that's challenging or complex, you can't always have this mindset of flight or fight as a defensive mechanism where you either run away when you need to withstand something to make you stronger, or you fighting something where it's like fighting a brick wall and you're not getting to anything. Okay, so being able to outrule that, you know, getting out of that mid-crisis of flight or fight mechanism and learning how to take actions, you know, calculating constructive action towards certain things rather than resorting to a flight or fight defense mechanism or for reacting to certain situations in your life. Okay, and then this whole thing, we need to get our psychological part, our mind right, to whereas our emotion, we can have an emotional balance, because right now the so-called black woman is seen as some sort of having emotional instability due to a bipolar complex by default. Okay, you know, feeling one way inside, somebody violated you and disrespected you inside, and then being upset and angry and upset and mad, you know, at a person, you know, who didn't cause it, but you being upset and mad and don't understand how or how to deal with whatever it is that bothered you of some sort. You know, it causes an emotional instability because you're dealing with this violation or this feeling like you could feel someone took a strike at you, but, you know, you don't know how to, like, articulate yourself or deal with it. So, you know, something took place, something happened, and it made you upset inside. But then let's say later on in the day, you're happy, you know, you forgot about the situation. And it's more of a complexity issue. It's an emotional imbalance. And let's say somebody do something again to make you upset. You back into that mode again. So it's a bipolar complex by default. You know, we don't mean to do it. It's just something that we go through, you know, especially those so-called black women that are moody. You know, when you're moody and you don't have no stabilization or be able to understand how to deal with your emotions, that is what happens. So until we could balance out the waters, balance out whatever it is bothering us or whatever the case might be, then we could be able to think with pure logic and logic alone rather than reacting to something with emotions. Okay, so these are my thoughts. on the invisible identity of the Black woman. I did not want to come from the angle of talking about the liberated Black woman, because there's so much misconstrued concepts and thoughts behind it, you know, when it comes down to a liberated so-called Black woman. So this was more than a 30 to 45 minute talk show, but I hope that you all were able to get something of some sort out of this show on tonight. You know, learn something new. And if by any chance you need me to elaborate more on something else, I wouldn't mind doing it. And I do want to explain that, no, I am not a racist, but I understand the plight of my sisters. And I understand that we need to come together as one. We need to stop having this fighting, you know, mentality, or degrading ourselves and having these labels, you know, degrading labels, you know, labeling ourselves as, you know, we need to get rid of that and start seeing the regalness, repair certain things that are damaged in our lives, you know. So this is my my call to the so-called Black woman that's out in the world, you know. And that's it. I hope you all have a good night.